To Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. Let me say something and let me give some instructions here before we get started. This word tonight isn't pointed at anyone. It's pointed at everyone. Amen. Hello? So many times God says, don't look at the speck in your brother's eye. Pull the plank out of your own. Amen? Amen. We're not here to judge anyone. Amen? I don't know. I've been around the block a couple times. I've done a lot of things. Amen? Amen? I threw away the T-shirts. My closet was full of them. I cleaned my closet out. Well, actually, the Holy Spirit cleaned out my closet. Amen? But in Ephesians chapter 5, tonight, beginning to read with verse number 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In other words, I may hang out with you, and we may disagree, but I'm going to disagree with you in love. I'm not disapproving you. I might disapprove what you do. I might not agree with you, amen, but I'm going to love you just the same. You know, I'm not going to forget where God found me. Amen. So many times we forget where God found us, and when God found me, I was a mess. But my mess became my message. And he's taken me through a lot of tests, and that test become my testimony. Amen. So there's nothing wasted. No matter what you've been going through in your life, God will turn all those things around and use them for his glory and for his honor if you allow him to. So he says to us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. How many know that we, whatever we're filled with is what's going to come out? Hello? So we're going to look at the Holy Spirit's our helper. The Holy Spirit's going to help us in these things. And the first thing he says is, be not drunk with wine. And so he's going to speak to us first about the drunkenness, the wisdom. Every time I'm looking for wisdom, I go to Proverbs, and Solomon is pretty wise, right? God would have gave him anything he wanted, and he asked for wisdom. Amen? So when you want some wisdom, a good place to go is the Proverbs and Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. But but Solomon says in Proverbs 20, verse number 1, he says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. In other words, it weakens my defenses. Amen. When I was a sailor, I drank like a sailor. Okay, come on. I drank like a sailor. And one thing that took place with me and my personal life with my drinking was when I drank, I became obnoxious. I became real mouthy. Amen? Anybody ever been around a mouthy person? An obnoxious person? That was me. Amen? And I wasn't that way until after the alcohol had an effect on me. Amen? I'm not justifying, I'm not blaming it all on the alcohol, but I was just saying. So he says there's warfare. If we recognize as children of God, we're in a battle, it's a fight. Amen? And the battlefield that we have is the battlefield of our mind. Amen? Every day we're caught up with the decisions that we make. Amen? The choices that we make. In Isaiah chapter 5, when I was looking at the warfare, um, Verse number 11. The prophet Isaiah said, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and the multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell have enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp and the and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it." In other words, we send the what he's trying to say to us and what God is saying to us, it says, be not drunk with wine because it's going to have an effect. Amen? The Bible says a little wine is good for the stomach. A lot of wine messes up your head. Amen? The problem with a little is most people can't stop with a little. Now, being real, and if you can't stop a little, it's best to abstain completely so that you're not giving into the temptation. Now, you say, well, you don't understand, Pastor. I've been doing this for years. Yeah, I did it for years too. But God's strength, God helped me change it. Greater is he that was in me than he that is in this world. Amen. His strength is made perfect in my weakness, but I have to recognize my weakness for his strength to be made perfect. In other words, if I sit there and say I don't have a problem, and I have a problem, I'm in denial. Amen? And the only way that you can overcome something is to face it head on with the help of the Lord. Amen? And when God is speaking his word, he's not speaking this. There's therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. God isn't speaking this to condemn you, but God has great plans for you, and the devil has great plans for you also. God has great plans to bring you life and the abundance thereof. The devil has plans to kill you and steal everything that you have. Amen? So in other words, God's calling for us, hey, he says, be not drunk with wine. He said, Jesus said in Luke 21, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting in drunkenness and cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Amen. So first he is saying in for us that we're talking about being filled with the Spirit of God and being led by the Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our advocate. He's our comforter. He's our friend. So first he said, be not drunk with wine. Then he says this, he says, wherein is excess? That word excess, it comes from what he's speaking about here is debauchery. The debauchery. What debauchery is excess of sensuality. In other words, that the alcohol weakens our defenses and raises up our senses. That's when there's a cheating and stuff that goes on in relationships and stuff, because the alcohol is a gateway to open up the excess of debauchery or to feed your sensual pleasures. Yeah, are you listening? Amen. So we're looking at the sensual first in Jude verse number 17. The word of God says, verse number 17, he says, "But beloved, remember ye the words that, which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time who shall walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh." So we're talking about the excess is the giving into the sensual pleasures. The Lord was speaking to me about something this week, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it because it's on my heart to say it. Love isn't a feeling. Love is a choice. I've been married to Jackie for 45 years, and every morning I choose to love her. I choose. It isn't a feeling that I have or something. It's an action that I take. So this thing that comes about where the devil tries to tell you, "Well, I don't love that person anymore," or "I don't love that one anymore." Listen to me. If you don't love them anymore, you don't love God either. For God says, if you love me, you love others also. So I can't choose who I'm going to love. I love everyone. I don't like what everyone does, but I love everyone. Amen. And what does love do? It covers a multitude of sins. So when my partner sins against me, or I sin apart against my partner, love covers it. And love is fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. Amen? What is love? It's fruit of the Spirit being activated. Amen? Amen? The world says it's about feelings. The Word, God says it's about truth. Amen. Amen. I stood before, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go preach on a rabbit trail. Has anybody ever been on a rabbit trail with me? If we've been on a rabbit trail with me, eventually we get back. It may take a moment or two. Secondly, the sinful. And James chapter 3, and we're talking about the sensual, is excess, the excess of sensuality. He says to us, "The wisdom, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly." Well, let's start at the beginning. Verse number 13. "Who is a wise man to do with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." So we're looking at, to be successful, we're going into the success in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. The apostle reminds us that we're walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Remember, there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus that do what? That walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Because our flesh is at enmity with God. There's a battle between the spirit man and the flesh man. Okay? Amen? So the apostle says to us in verse number 8, he reminds us, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. So he's saying to us, we have the drunkenness that leads to debauchery, feeding our senses, where's excess. But he said, but be filled with the Spirit. Every day I want it to be more of him and less of me. Amen. Guess what gets in my way? Carl gets in the way. Amen. Amen. Carl gets in the way. And then what God says, God doesn't talk to me about anybody else. He talks to me about me. Amen. He ain't showing me what you're doing wrong. He's showing me what I'm doing wrong. Then he said, you do right in front of others to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. Amen. Amen. I'm not here to tell anybody what's wrong with you. I'm here to tell you what's right with God. Amen. And let me say something to everybody in the room. You're children of God. There isn't a person in this room that isn't a child of God. And when you do wrong, you know you're doing wrong. Come on. You know you're doing wrong. You got something that says, man, that ain't right. That ain't right. But a lot of times we just say, it ain't right, but I'm going to do it anyway. All right. And then we have to hold on for the consequences that are coming, for the wages of sin is death. Amen. And it doesn't necessarily mean physical death. Amen. But death, the wages of sin is death. And that word death comes from the Greek word thanatos, and that word means to be separated from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have to recognize if Christ, in Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And I can do all things through Christ that's going to give me my strength. Amen. And what he was talking to me about here was, as we're looking at the next point, was being drinking. We're talking about drinking of the Spirit. We're talking about, first thing I'm going to look at is the blessings. This isn't in your handout, but look with me in Luke chapter 6 a minute. Luke chapter 6. Jesus said this. Verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. So shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. One of the things the Lord has always, since I've served the Lord, amen, that I make my living by my giving. I'm blessed because I'm a giver. I'm blessed. Here's what happens. When money gets tight, the first thing that normally happens is we take from the Lord and we try to put it somewhere else. But what I'm doing is I'm holding God's hand back. I want the blessing to flow. I want to keep the windows of heaven open. I want to operate in the blessings of God. Amen. And some people don't. I'll say it like this. I probably make less than everybody in this room a year. I don't make a lot of money. Amen. But I have a lot of money. Why do I have money? Because I give. And what does God say to us? He tells us to give. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I love it in Malachi. chapter 3, verse number 8. Malachi says, will man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, so there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing where there's not room, shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. This is the only place in God's word where he says to prove him.
Amen.
It doesn't say it anywhere else. He says, prove me. Prove me. In other words, see that I will not bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So when we're drinking, I don't know about you, but I'm not drinking in the spirit. I want to drink in the blessings of God. Amen. How many know that everybody's going to go through storms in this life? Amen. There's something about being filled with the Holy Ghost. When I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I can face the storms. I can face the adversity. I can face the afflictions. Because God's word says to me, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Amen. So no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, my God is greater. Amen. And I believe God in his word. Amen. And guess what? He holds me to his word. Guess what? I hold him to his word. This is a bilateral agreement. And it's an agreement between two parties. It isn't a one-way agreement. It's a two-way agreement. Amen. That kind of gets me excited that I'm in an agreement with God. Amen. So everything do. Here's the problem. We're in agreement with God, but the adversary doesn't want us to agree with one another. So he'll do everything to keep us out of agreement. Because when the body truly agrees, look out. Look out. Amen. Look out. Nothing can stand against the body that's agreeing together. Amen. So let's not look what we have in differences. Don't look at our differences. We're all differences. We're all different. We all have different personalities. We all have different backgrounds. We all come from different places, but we all serve the same God. We all have the same word, and we all have the same Holy Ghost. What can make us alike? The Holy Spirit, because there isn't 10 Holy Spirits. There isn't 20 Holy Spirits. There's only one Holy Spirit, and the same Holy Spirit's in all of us as children of God. I don't know about you, but that gets me a little bit excited. Is it okay to get excited?
Yes.
Amen? Okay. Shall I move on? Amen. So then we're going to talk about the bounty, the blessing. Filled drinking of the Spirit brings bounty. Ephesians chapter 3. You might not like everything you're hearing, but you need to hear what I'm speaking. I had a totally different lesson for tonight, and the Holy Spirit made me change it. I didn't want to. I had already studied the other one. Yeah. But I know that God has something to say to all of us. Amen. And you know one thing about the Lord we serve? He doesn't leave anybody out. Amen. He has plans for each and every one of us, plans for good. And not for evil. Plans give us hope and expect it in. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. So we're looking at the bounty. And the bounty I want to speak to you about, it says in Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that now worketh in us, on him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen or so be it. There we go. So we're going to look here at the benefits. Amen. The benefits of Colossians chapter 1. Are you hearing? Verse number 9. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Colossae, he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Amen? All wisdom and spiritual understanding. So what this says to me is calls for us to make a decision. And the decision that we're looking at tonight is Ephesians 5, 19. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. Hello? If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, I'm going to make a suggestion to everybody in the room. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, read the word out loud. You see it in the portal of your eyes, you speak it with your mouth, and you hear it with your ears. Amen? So when you're reading the word, you're studying the word, read it out loud. Amen? It's getting in all the portals. Amen? He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, make a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the Lord saying to you and I tonight? He said, hey, church, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We have the drunkenness, the debauchery, the drinking, that calls for our decision. You know one thing about God, with the God we serve? It's another thing I love about the Lord. He will not make me do anything. He isn't going to make you do anything. He gave us a free will. Amen? But he says in his word, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For they that come to God must believe that he is God, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So as we're diligently seek him, God's going to turn things around in our lives. There's some things in our lives that look humongous, look like big mountains to us in the natural, but they're just a little molehill to God. Amen? Can we all just stand? Can we just lift our hands to heaven? Just an act of surrender to the Lord tonight. Father, I thank you for every man, woman, and child that's in this room tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you have great plans and purposes for each and every one. Lord, I bind the weapons the enemy is trying to form against them, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I declare them strengthened in your power and might. You sent your word tonight to heal, to restore, to reconcile, to renew us, Father God. So, Lord, as we wait upon you, we know your word declares that you'll renew our strength, and that we'll mount up with wings as eagles, and we'll run and not grow weary, and we'll walk and not faint, because our hope and our trust is in you. We surrender it all to you, Lord. Not our will, but your will be done. Have your way in our hearts and lives, and we'll never cease to give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.